This episode of the Press Row Podcast is brought to you by Out of the Park Developments, makers of Out of the Park Baseball 21 and Franchise Hockey Manager 6. Both of those games are available directly from us at ootpdevelopments.com or from Steam. Out of the Park Baseball 21 has been a smashing success this year, and even though we have not had baseball yet in 2020, and a whole lot of people have been playing Out of the Park Baseball 21 to get their MLB fix, Out of the Park Baseball 21 will also very soon be delivering an update to the game that will have all of the new stuff for the 2020 season, the 60-game schedule and playoffs, the roster changes, the rules, including the runners on second, starting in extra innings. All of that stuff will be a part of it, and as well as for Franchise Hockey Manager 6, we'll have the NHL return to play. So the tournaments in Edmonton and Toronto with the teams and the schedules and the players and the rosters, it's all going to be part of both of these games. So we continue to support Franchise Hockey Manager 6 and Out of the Park Baseball 21, both of them, as I said, available directly from us at ootpdevelopments.com or on Steam. Thank you guys so much for continuing to support the Press Row Podcast. We appreciate it. We've been doing this for a long time, and we plan on doing it for a whole lot longer because of people just like you. So thank you very much. Enjoy the show. Well, hey, everybody. Welcome to the Press Row Podcast. I'm here, Rich Grisham, here with our good friend, Pasta Padre, Brian Weedeye. Brian, how are you, my friend?
Doing pretty well, all things considered. We're starting to see sports start to return. It's kind of interesting to see how that happens. I've had to make a decision on my season tickets for the Seahawks, which I have deferred a year. I don't think there's going to be any fans at games anyway, but it still kind of hurts to push that off and know I won't be going to any games until, well, presumably next August, next September, but who knows if that'll even happen. But yeah, you know, it's interesting times, as has been in our last few episodes too. We're just trying to adjust and figure things out as we go.
You know, we are in, I mean, if you had said 7 months ago, Brian, that we would be, you and I would be talking in July and we would be watching Premier League soccer matches and we would be 9 days away from the start of a 60-game baseball season, and that we were a week and a half away from a conclusion of the NBA season in a single hub in Orlando with a whole bunch of teams, and that we would be a couple of weeks away from the organization and conclusion of the NHL tournament based in two Canadian cities, all of these getting ready to be run in places without fans. Like, it's just, it's so absurd. And yet 6 months later, here we are. It's just unbelievable. But turning a negative into a positive, Brian Weedeye, we are just a couple of weeks away from some of the most intense days of sport from morning until evening. Brian, do you realize the NHL is going to be playing sometimes 5 games a day? The NBA is going to be playing 2, 3, 4 games a day. Baseball is going to be on constantly, wall to wall. It's going to be unbelievable what's all going to be happening in August and in September. And that's just what we quote unquote know, right? And know is in massive air quotes, because, you know, we're still one or two unforeseen circumstances from any and all of these things falling apart, right? We all know that. So everyone is just like on eggshells in the NBA bubble and the NHL bubbles and in Major League Baseball. And then, as you mentioned, right, then coming around the corner is the prospect of an attempt at an NFL season. I think everybody is pretty much resigned to the fact there will be no college football, right? Like, it's unbelievable the world that we're in. And then, of course, it goes right into the video games that we've been talking about on this show for over a decade and the impact on that. It's amazing. Wild times, Brian. Wild times. Just everything going on. It's almost impossible to comprehend. And again, if you had told yourself this 6 months ago, you would have just been like, what? What? This literally makes no sense.
Yeah. You know, it's also surreal, but at the same time, it's strangely gotten familiar. Like, I've gone, you know, we've gone, what, 4 months really without any sports. And, you know, I survived. I made it somehow. And you know, you go back to February or whatever, and you think, you know, you can't imagine a world where things were shutting down and where everybody's wearing masks and things like this. And it's all starting to become, you know, normal to a degree. And yeah, I, you know, I, it's strange because, you know, in a few years and decades or whatever, you'll be able, you'll look back on this year and you'll think how strange it was and how everything was so depressing, or as far as sports go, like unique in the way they had to figure things out. But right now, it's just like a day by day thing. It's so strange. But it's also, as far as sports go, not what's happening generally around the world. But as far as sports go, it's kind of fascinating to me to see how that all develops.
And we are also so happy to have our good friend Mills with us. Mills, what's happening, my man?
Hey, what's going on, guys? How's it going?
It's going great.
Is it Ghost of Tsushima Day yet?
I think it is. But I don't think I think the internet said you're not supposed to like that game. I think.
Oh,
I don't know.
No.
Oh, no, that's Last of Us. That's what I'm playing.
Oh.
Oh, I forgot. The internet's deciding what I can and can't play these days. That's right. It's unfortunate.
Mills, it's been a while. It's been a while. I mean, this is literally, as we speak right now, the first time I've spoken to you in probably at least a month, maybe more. What are you up to? What are you playing? What are you streaming? You got a whole bunch of stuff going on over there. What's happening in the world of Mills right now?
I've kind of gotten back into Diamond Dynasty a little bit. Been playing a lot of that because the franchise mode is extremely lacking. I've kind of gotten into NBA 2K My Team because the franchise mode is kind of lacking. Mm-hmm. I'm not playing Madden right now because the franchise mode is kind of lacking.
We'll be talking about that.
There's been a lot of other stuff going on. I'm kind of expanding out to, I mean, I've always liked a good number of different games, but for right now, just kind of going with the flow, just enjoying, you know, all the time home, like, you know, not out of the house, staying safe.
You know, one of the reasons I love both of you guys is because I can disagree with almost everything you say and we can still have fun and have a good conversation. So I'm not going to get into this now, Mills, but I'm not going to just let you slide right by without me at least saying, now, I got to push back on the NBA 2K franchise lacking. I play that NBA 2K franchise all the time. In my opinion, man, there's a lot going on there that ain't lacking. Now, granted, I haven't put 300 hours into it, right? So, you know, in my, you know, couple, two or three different, you know, seasons that I've been playing, it probably doesn't add up to the amount of time you put in it. But lacking NBA 2K franchise? Really?
I don't know that. So lacking isn't the term. Let's call the term something different. Let's call it stale. For somebody that's played it on a normal basis over the past couple of years. Yeah, I mean, I think it's still the most deep franchise mode, the most options, the most everything else, but it's still like kind of sat around for the last couple of years. They tried to add my GM into the mode and on a leaderboard scale, they kind of rolled that back by allowing to do options. But even there, where a lot of games are doing voice acting and a lot of games are doing, you know, storytelling, a lot of what that is the GM just telling you, hey, go trade this guy. Hey, make sure you spend this much money. Or, hey, don't spend this much money. It's very repetitive. So the updates they tried to do were make it online and engaging without having to play each other head-to-head with the MyGM, and it kind of fell flat this year. So while it is a very good franchise mode, I honestly think they all have their merit. For anyone that plays them on a normal basis over the years, and again, this could be sports games in general, I think they're lacking in consistent updates.
Okay, fair. Very fair. So that's a little bit about what you've been playing real quick before we sort of get into the agenda for tonight, which is packed with good stuff. Brian Weedy, the last five times I've asked you what you've been playing, you said, I'm not playing anything. So I don't even know if I should ask you. I'm going to ask you anyway. What are you playing?
No, I have Last of Us 2. That's what I've been playing. And that's a game that Look, it's exceptional, but it is emotionally draining. I pretty much tap out after 2 hours, and then I need a few days before I even load it back up again. It's just really taxing on me. the first game I absolutely loved, and maybe one of, if not my favorite game ever. And this one it's exceptional. Don't know if I'm enjoying it as much as the other one, but I really, really appreciate what they've done with it. And I know we mentioned controversy and people, determining whether you're supposed to like it or not. And I still like it. I still think it's a really good game. And, it's, some of the complaints are valid, I guess. And some of them are more just opinions than facts about it, but it's been interesting experience as I get back into that. Yeah, sports games though, I'm really checked out on. I still play a little bit of Super Mega Baseball 3, which is great. But I like extended periods of time. I kind of need a league license. I kind of feel like I need a league license for that. And that, sure. So as far as me committing to a game, it's just become more important to me, in recent years, I think, to have that connection to real life. And then you have the unique stuff happening in real life and hoping that the games capitalize on them in some ways. I know today we got some information on what, MLB The Show is going to be doing, to try and, not really match what's happening. They're doing some things. I mean, the live mode as far as playing the games on each of those days should be updated kind of to match, but they weren't able to do anything for franchise and stuff like that. So they're going to do more often roster updates, I guess, also. But, it's kind of going to be interesting to see what happens with that and how do, like, Madden, NBA 2K, and how do they adjust to seasons that aren't starting at the times that we thought they would, and like NBA in the next season. This NBA 2K game, I believe, will be coming out while we're still in, if it goes off without getting canceled early. This next NBA 2K game is going to come out when we're like in the midst of the playoffs of this season. So that's kind of bizarre. And Madden, maybe it starts on time. Maybe the season starts on time. But if it does, there aren't going to be any fans in the stands. It's so strange. But at the same time, it's going to be one of those time capsule type things that make these games potentially unique and something different and something that we look back on and maybe appreciate because of that years later. So I'm curious to see how that all works out. But yeah, right now I'm just trying to get my way through Last of Us, which is a longer game than I anticipated. I'm like 20 hours in, and I don't believe I'm nearing the end. So,
I completed the original Last of Us, and when I finished that game, I put the controller down and I said, I'm not going to do that to myself again. And I did not. I did not play Last of Us 2. I'm not going to. I have nothing but respect for the. For the game, like, it's clearly it's an accomplishment in
let me tell you one other thing that connects with me is that much of the game, if not most of it, takes place in Seattle, so that's kind of cool. And there's landmarks, and including including CenturyLink Field. It's got a different name, but they basically colonized CenturyLink Field, and it's like a base of operations, and you walk through it. And I'm like, there's my section. That's where I sit. And it's like, it's just run down, and you're walking through the aisles and stuff. And I'm like, I recognize that. And they represented that correctly. And, it's not entirely correct, but they did a pretty decent job. And then just all the other landmarks that I recognize and stuff like that. It's just neat for me as a Seattle guy.
But yeah, there was, in the world that we're in these days, like, the last thing I want to do is play anything that isn't fun and nice and happy. Which brings me to what I've been playing. And that is, I'm playing a lot of Madden because I'm in an online league. The old school fourth string online Madden league has returned, and it is great. And I am pretty good. I'm not good enough to win because when I play the best players, they beat me pretty easily. But I'm good enough to have a good record, have a winning record. And, you know, this is like our fourth or fifth season. So the team, the Eagles team is almost completely different. It's like probably 80-85% turned over now. I still got Carson Wentz. I still got Fletcher Cox. But I think those might be like the only guys left. I'm just having a lot of fun, playing it. And so that's another, but that's one thing. I'm also playing a ton of FIFA. I love this year's FIFA, just playing old school career mode. I am Everton. It's my second year. This is so cool, Brian. So, in my first season with Everton, it took, like it always does, whenever I start up a brand new campaign in either Pro Evo or FIFA, it takes me 5 to 10 matches to sort of find my footing. Right, to find my footing. And Everton is not good, you know, but because I've played every FIFA for the last 15 years, you know, when you go, if you look, like, I never think to look, but if you look in the, you know, in your, like, user profile, you know, you've very likely built up a lot of coins, like I have, because I never use them. And you can go, you can, like, go and say, oh, you know, you can buy this little perk with your coins, and it's cheap. And you can get like a huge, you get a brand new owner that'll give you like a huge infusion of money to go after good players. So like, and you can use it once a year. So I did that, and then I was able to go get a world class center back, because that's one of the positions I was sorely lacking. And long story short, by the final match of the Premier League season, I had to win the game to finish in fourth place. Which in American sports is like, who cares? But in Premier League soccer, finishing in fourth place versus fifth is the difference between finishing in the Champions or playing in the Champions League or not, which is hundreds of millions of dollars of revenue. You know, it is transformational if you're a club like Leicester City, for example, right? And it's almost imperative for operations if you're a club like Manchester City or you know, Liverpool or something like that. But what was cool about this is on the last day, and I had to, you know, I was tied with Chelsea. Now, I was ahead of Chelsea on goal differential. So if I, you know, if I win and Chelsea wins, I'm going to win. If I tie and Chelsea ties, I'm going to win. If I lose and Chelsea loses, I'm going to win. But if I tie or lose and Chelsea wins, or I lose and Chelsea ties or wins, they're gonna finish ahead of me, and I'll be out of the Champions League. Brian, the whole game, the announcers were talking about this. And they went to live look-ins at the Chelsea match every like 10 or 15 minutes. It was amazing. I was like, this is so good. I have never had that happen before. It was a big deal. It's what we've been talking about for years, and it happened in FIFA 20, Brian. It was great.
Yeah, and that's the kind of experience that we would hope to see in other games too sometimes. But yeah, did you even buy that game, or are you playing it on EA Access?
I'm playing on EA Access because this year Pro Evolution was on Game Pass, so I played it a ton on Xbox Game Pass. Then I played my 10 hours of FIFA on EA Access, and I almost bought it 5 times. You know what I mean? But I knew it would be coming to EA Access, and I pay for it, and I've been playing other things. And then once it popped on EA Access, it's been pretty much my main game. And I play it all the time. And now I'm in my second season. And by the way, I won the match. So and Chelsea won their match too. So I did finish in fourth on goal differential, made the Champions League. I'm now in about a little less than halfway through my second season, and I'm alive in all the competitions. I won my group in the Champions League. I'm alive in the Carabao Cup. I'm alive in the FA Cup. And I'm like in third or fourth place in the Premier League right now. So I'm just having a blast playing FIFA. The Premier League is great. You know, the visuals, the stadiums, it's great. I know it's not new. I get it, right? Mm-hmm. But it's still great, and I still enjoy it. And I can understand if I'd played it 10 years in a row, the same thing, which I probably kind of have, where it might be boring. But anyway, I'm playing Madden. I'm playing FIFA. Those are my main games that I'm playing right now. Other than, super quick shout-out, thanks to the magic of PlayStation Now, I am knee deep in a great old game, Ratchet and Clank Future: A Crack in Time. What a great game. If you never played it and you have PlayStation Now, I cannot recommend that game enough. It's old. It's like 10 or 11 years old. It's just so good. And I'm playing it, you know, not The main reason I'm playing it is because I remember I played it a bunch of years ago and I never finished it. But also, I think the new Ratchet and Clank is going to be one of the launch titles for the PS5. So I'm also sort of getting excited for that. So anyway.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
That's all the stuff I've been playing. All right. Lots of stuff to talk about officially. Let's start with Madden.
Now, let's do it.
Lots of stuff going on with Madden. Lots of stuff still not known. Lots of stuff is known. I mean, Brian Mills, you two are both, I mean, you know, experts isn't even the right term. You guys just between the history and what's coming up, you've got lots of thoughts and lots of opinions on all sorts of things. Brian, where do you want to start? What's the first Madden thing you want to tackle? Because there's a couple, two or three things I want to talk about.
Well, I think the big one was the Fix Madden franchise movement, I'll call it, of the last few weeks. And really that stemmed from a posting by EA detailing all the franchise changes for this coming year, which was 95% face of the franchise and then a few notes about franchise mode, which I think you would be generous to describe as patch notes for the standard franchise mode, which they have rebranded at least in their marketing materials as classic franchise. So people, you know, and this is something I'd like Mills to go into too, is like, I'm interested in, you know, like, how did we get here? Why did this happen now? Why did people kind of come together now and make their voices known? And then, you know, where do we go from here? So those are just kind of how I wanted to look at this situation right now. But the Fix Madden franchise hashtag on Twitter trended for the good part of 24 hours. I think it may have hit number one. If it didn't, it was definitely in the top five. And people really, you know, we've talked about franchise mode over the years, and we've, you know, detailed how maybe it's not getting the attention that we would hope for. It's not getting the updates we would hope for. You know, there was a big reboot of franchise mode with Madden 13, and since then it's just been kind of incremental. They've made some decent additions over the years, and they've, you know, continued to enhance franchise mode. And, you know, I'm giving it some credit here, as we've, you know, gone over many times. It's easily the best online franchise there is in the genre, because everything you can do essentially offline, you can do in your online franchise with up to, you know, 32 people involved. So, it's not like, you know, I was kind of hesitant about that hashtag at first, because it's not like franchise is broken. It's just that it's been neglected. And we saw really an interesting situation where people really came together and expressed that frustration, because, look, you can say, you know, vote with your wallet, but people have done that and it hasn't changed anything, because for everybody that stops buying Madden because they're not satisfied with the gameplay or the franchise mode or whatever, there's somebody else that's spending, I forget what the average was, something like $600.
You're contradicting yourself, because you've told me that sales have gone down. So theoretically, if people are voting for their wallet, voting with their wallet, if related to franchise,
and that's exactly,
he is getting the message that they're not going to improve franchise because less people are buying it.
So they're trading, I think consciously made that exchange of, we can lose some sales if we pick it up on digital revenue. So everybody, you know, if I stopped buying the game, they lose $60. But if they manage to acquire a new player that spends an ultimate team that spends $800, that person is far more valuable to them than they are my lost sale. So I think that I think all games to an extent have kind of made that decision that, hey, you know, if we can maximize our dollars digitally, in whether it's, you know, virtual currency in NBA 2K turns a lot of people off, but they make more money off of that than they lose from people who are upset by it. So it's really just that exchange they're making. And it's kind of, I don't know. I don't know why it was this year necessarily. Maybe it's because everybody's quarantined and frustrated in general. Maybe it's because we're hitting a new generation. And if you don't speak up now, you kind of lose out on the next 6 years, but things just kind of came to a head, right now. And it actually forced EA to respond, not really in a satisfying way, but they at least responded to it by saying, we hear you. So that's kind of where we're at with that now. And I really wanted to have Mills on because he is, you know, he can get into this a little deeper than even I can, as far as like the specifics of what people are looking for. And, you know, I have some general idea about things that people want, but I think it was more to do with the way it was presented. I think it kind of insulted people, or at least seemed like they just didn't care anymore with that blog they put out. And then it just caught on. And I think even people who don't really care about franchise mode jumped on because they don't like Madden or whatever, but it was a movement that got attention, and it made some waves. And I think it proved that people can make a difference when enough actually care about something and they try to channel that energy in a positive way.
Well, I also don't think, so we're clear about the sales. I think they're worried about sales too. And the main reason I think that is because they introduced a mode last year called Superstar KO that was 100% directed at casual users.
Yeah. Okay. That's a good point.
At casual users that aren't going to play Ultimate Team. Ultimate Team is an extremely complex and, again, very money hungry mode. But it's extremely complex at the same time. So while they're still targeting those people, and if you look at Ultimate Team, Ultimate Team hasn't had a ton of upgrades either. I said this on my stream that, and we'll get into why everyone came together on franchise. If you don't think that Ultimate Team is the next on the block, like franchise is the first one up. Franchise is the one that's like, hey, we'll just keep, you know, those core guys will keep buying the game anyway. They very much have done the same thing with Ultimate Team kind of under the rug. They're like, listen, we'll just put out cards every year. They won't care. We don't have to. What have they really done to Ultimate Team over the last couple of years that has been revolutionary? It's essentially the same. Like, they're still treating, this is the reason everyone came together is because they're treating the entire core the same way. Okay. Like Superstar KO came out and that became the new baby. That became the new hotness. And this year, it looks like they're doing the same thing. They're ignoring other modes. Now, we haven't gotten any information on what they're doing Ultimate Team this year, so this is conjecture on my part from the Ultimate Team side. But I honestly believe one of the reasons, and it did hit number one worldwide, that hashtag hit number one worldwide, was because, first of all, it was a disrespect over the better part of a decade of franchise mode. But at the same time, like, they consistently take their Ultimate Team side, and even Ultimate Team can look at franchise and go, wow, I'm glad I'm not them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think you're right in that, you know, a lot of people jumped onto it because of the overall Madden feeling, but I don't think it's just that. I think they've focused on so many different things over the last few years. I don't think they've had one direction for Madden that is stuck for longer than 2 years.
Every year they introduce a new 3-year plan, right? Isn't that?
How many times have we made that joke here? The 3-year plan thing. And I don't think it's just franchise based. I think they have a problem staying true to course. I don't know if it's higher up. I don't know if it's developers. I don't know if it's producers. But whatever it is, they go a year, they go 2 years, and they go, okay, well, let's change something else. Instead of focusing on just getting something consistent. And I think that's why, how many times, Rich, have we talked about this being a live service? How in the hell are you going to be a live service if you can't focus on the game? Like, how many different options are you going to throw at the game? It's not a live service. That's why they consistently put a new game out, because they don't focus on what they do best. Just gameplay. Upgrade the modes. They can't do that because they feel like they're so out of touch with everybody that they've got to find that big hotness they can put in the back of the box. And this year, I mean, look at the leak from this year. What's the leak from this year? We just saw it. and I know I'm kind of jumping forward here, but the leak from this year is they have some mode that looks like it's 6-on-6 and they're calling it the yard.
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Who's going to play the yard? Who's playing
Volta on FIFA? And I don't mean that snarkily. I mean it legitimately. Volta was a big new feature of the new FIFA. I don't touch it. I don't know if it's hugely popular. And again, I'm not being snarky. I literally have no idea. But it sounds like that's sort of the, okay, that's our Volta, right? This is something that we could introduce that could, A, be of interest to people who might feel, you know, that the traditional mode is stale or they've been there, done that, and B, might be something that would be a good entry point to people who haven't, you know, gotten into the game or whatever. Because again, one of the things we've talked about 100,000 times on the show, and sometimes I feel like I'm in a time warp, right? Like Madden's super duper intimidating to a brand new player. You know, if you're an 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 year old kid who loves football and you're playing Madden for the first time,
good luck.
You know, poof. And that's the same with any sports video game, right? It's not unique to Madden, but that could be another reason.
That's face of the franchise, though, I think right now. I think ideally EA would say that's where you start. You control one guy, you go through basically a story, you go through the scenarios, and you succeed in that, and then you can kind of branch out. That's Superstar KO to an extent. Volta, you asked about, Rich, and I think Volta was something for about a week or two and then just basically forgotten. And, you know, that's that kind of mode. It just might be the way it is. Doesn't mean it's not valuable to have in there. I mean, you know, all these games are kind of starting to fit in these arcade style modes. NHL brings in, you know, an arcade style also. It's a way to expand the audience. It's, you know, we don't have those standalone games for the most part. You know, maybe in a year we will have one from 2K for football that could make things interesting again. But I understand why they're doing it. I think it was just, again, like Mills with the yard. I kind of like the concept of a 6-versus-6. I think that could be fun. But the timing is just to introduce something like that, just very bad. It's very bad.
And Volta, I think Volta's big miss was it wasn't online.
Right.
So like making that a single player, I think a single player is an essential component to that, but making it completely single player was a huge miss. I don't even think you put that mode into the game unless you have some kind of online component with friends to it. And they did anyway. And the thing that worries me is we're getting ready to move into the next gen. Like Madden 21 is going to be on next gen. We're getting to that point. Like, well, you didn't touch franchise mode. Well, we'll see what happens with the Ultimate Team. We had a blog come out with AI updates. It looks really nice. So gameplay looks like it's going to get a nice boost, which is awesome. But like, I know that affects franchise mode, but like, what are you, you've done this for 10 years.
Did you play the beta?
I did play the beta and I can talk about that too, which is cool. Yeah. So, yeah, I thought the gameplay was very much upgraded in the beta. It was very open. I think like they need to really focus on some defense and some upgrades there. But for the most part, I thought gameplay was pretty good in limited teams that we can see.
And to be fair, I don't know if to be fair is the right way to put it, but Madden tends to be better in the first couple weeks than you find the issues, right? Like I don't think anybody. Who played Madden 20 initially thought that by the end of the year, Madden tournament would be won by somebody using a punter at quarterback and offensive lineman at wide receiver and never passing the ball. Like we didn't know that running was going to be like the meta for that game. So it's hard with these annual games to know what you're getting into because it's such a limited amount of play that you can get in. And even if you play 10 hours, you're not seeing everything you're going to see. You're not finding the trends necessarily yet. But it did seem like there were some positives out of the beta. I didn't play it intentionally, but it, you know, we'll see where that goes. I think they have a, you know, it looks like it's a year where they're refining things and tweaking things and not necessarily overhauling things. And that's probably wise given we're at the transition period. And You know, the next gen game is not really going to be a different game. I see people, you know, when the franchise news came out, one of the reactions was, well, maybe they're doing the big franchise stuff in the next gen game. No, they're giving the game away if you buy it on current gen.
Right, because maybe they're waiting until they can do the first full season version,
yeah, maybe,
which would be for August of 2021 on the next gen consoles that will hopefully even be out at that time. Right, there's so much uncertainty. I mean, there's so much uncertainty around so many parts of this that I really think people should take a step back and really understand the chaos that is happening in all of these organizations. Chaos that is completely out of their control. It throws plans and schedules into absolute havoc and completely destroys momentum, cohesion, and I would, you know, even as a consumer, right? I'm talking about this completely from a consumer perspective. I have absolutely no problem. No problem whatsoever. If my Matt, you know, if I'm hopefully get a PlayStation 5 on launch day or launch week, and I'll pick up the Madden, which I will, you know, get for free because I've played it on PlayStation 4. If it's the same game, I'm fine with that at launch in the fall of a pandemic when they might not even be playing actual NFL football anyway. Like, that's okay to me. I'm not saying it should be okay to anyone else, but I'm saying to me, that's fine. It's completely fine. Let's go play some video games. That's how I view it.
I really want to be like that. And I used to be like that. I do. But then I see all these other AAA development studios that are, you know, a little sluggish, but not behind the eight ball. I mean, Bungie is killing it with Destiny 2 right now, and they're all working from home. Like, I know sports games are different.
They don't release a game every single year. They have built their business around supporting one title that is also not 30 or 40 years old. Comparing those, it's not apples to apples. Not even close.
But there's a lot of video games doing that right now. Like Valorant is having no issues in there, and that's
brand new. It didn't even exist.
But they're being developed and updated by people working at home. Like Valorant has been there. I had this problem with MLB The Show, and I had a couple people come to me and say, because the MLB The Show team is all working from home too, and they're doing, you know, separated updates. I mean,
they were working from home after the game was pretty much done. That's completely different than working from home during the critical development cycle of your title. Completely different.
I mean, okay. I just, how many times over the last better part of a decade have we said that there's another reason? That's my problem with this, is that there's always something that causes franchise mode to not get updated. There's always a reason. And yes, sometimes they are valid. And I've never been the guy to stand up and be like, listen, you know, I'm always the guy, look, this is going on. Hey, franchise had to take a little backseat because of sim gameplay. Or, hey, they had, you know, these, like, there's only so many times you can do this. There's only so many times. And that's why so many people came together under that hashtag. Is there's only so many times you can get smacked on the hand before you pull your hand back. And I fully understand they're working from home. Believe me, I'm one of those guys that gets to see both sides of the curtain, and I'm very fortunate to see that. But at the same time, nothing for franchise mode under any circumstances is completely You can't take that. You can't take that. Those notes that they put out, they could have put out in a patch for Madden 20. To put out those notes for a franchise update is unheard of.
So let's have a discussion that's impossible to be accurate on, right?
That's what we specialize in.
That's what we do, right?
Yeah.
All right. So you've got three of us here. I think it would be fair to say, Mills, that you are wildly unsatisfied with the state of franchise in Madden right now. Is that a fair statement?
Absolutely.
Okay. Brian, I would say that you could care less about it because you don't play, not, right?
I would, under the right circumstances, okay. I would play.
And then you've got me, who is delighted with it. And I'm not being, this is not an act. I'm not a shill. I'm literally delighted with it. I play it every day. It's fine. It's much deeper than I could possibly want. I don't care about, I can't stand this salary cap. Oh my God, please. Having to navigate the salary cap is torture. Torture, right? I'm perfectly happy with franchise. Like it's great. I can play 5-10 years if I want to. I can sign guys in long-term contracts. I can do the draft. I can scout. I can upgrade my players. I can upgrade my coach. You know,
all that stuff you just listed, you always say you don't want to do that.
No, but I can. And I'm forced to do it in this online league that I'm in, right? I hire a general manager for the offseason because I don't want to deal with that stuff. But during the season, I got to do stuff, right?
And that's understandable for you, but you're also the person that used in-game currency to gain more money in FIFA earlier in this conversation,
right?
Which is completely unheard, like
which I did not pay
to
for
cheat the computer,
which I did not pay for, right? And was there for me just because I play FIFA every single year. So my point is not that. My point is, what's the percentage of the market, right? Are the people like me a significant portion of the market, or a small portion? Are the people like Brian, who's basically Brian's checked out? He's done. Like, thanks. I don't know what it'll take to get Brian back. And what's the percentage of the people that are you, Mills, right? Like, you know, a social media trend hitting number one to me does not necessarily mean that this is how everybody feels. Because we all know there's social media and there's the real world. I'm also not dismissing it, not by any stretch, because something doesn't get to number one if there's not at least some sentiment. But I also am extremely dubious that most of the people that participated in that even had an idea what Madden's really about. Obviously, the people who started it care deeply, right? So, like, what is it, 33, 33, 33? Am I the 50%? Am I the 80%? Am I the 2%? Is everybody like you, Mills? Like, what do you think the breakdown of the people, of the 4 to 8 million people who play Madden every single year, what do you think that breakdown looks like of satisfied versus unsatisfied with franchise?
The core in general is less than 5%. The core in general, the ones that we see every day on online, is less than 5% in every game. That's numbers that, like, I have been told, and not just with Madden.
Right. And by the way, the core is hugely important.
That's the thing,
hugely,
right?
Hugely important.
That's the thing. It's like, if you lose the core, you know, we've seen that happen with games, and they can't, you know, NBA Live, one example.
Absolutely.
You know, you almost can't recover.
That's why I say, like, the core is hugely important.
Because it may be, yeah, right. It may be a smaller percentage.
Long term, you can't manage to have an upset core, because eventually the larger group of people will be unhappy with the people the core people
they follow
after a certain amount of time. Yes,
they follow. This is, you look at NBA 2K. Why did NBA 2K get so big? It was because it had and same with MLB The Show. You had this base of fans who were very passionate, very dedicated, and also very knowledgeable and wanting to replicate the sport in like a simulation way. And when those companies gave them what they wanted, you saw the casuals follow along. And then
they hired them. NBA 2K hired them, and now they all work there, which was brilliant. And we have them on the show, you know, like Madden did the same thing. Why if you feel like it's not working, right? And that's a, if it's not a, it's not working, right? Because I don't feel the same way. But Mills, and Madden did the same thing that NBA 2K. Madden hired some of our friends that are making the game right now. What did they do wrong that NBA 2K did right?
Swami's in there right now. Moonlight Swami is one of the guys that was one of the spear tips to the franchise Madden. And, well, we see where that went.
Well, it's like, Rich, who are the decision makers, right? It's not necessarily. Maybe these people are pushing for what people want, and you know, does, it's just not approved, or they're forced to go in a different direction. And, right, you know, there's many considerations that go into it, obviously. And it's a business. It's a big business. So it's not, it's, you know, it's the executives, it's the NFL.
It's a foundational part of EA's business. You can argue, you know, how important it is or not. Madden is a cornerstone of Electronic Arts business. Cornerstone.
I think it's very telling that it was Sean Grady that did the message. I think that shows how important that what happened was. I think they could have very easily put out like a blog post or not said anything at all. I think the fact that they took their, I keep getting his title wrong, I think he is executive producer or something along those lines. He might be creative director. Whatever his title is, he is one of the top people in charge of the game. And I think it's very telling that they put him in front of a camera, script or not, to put accountability on him. It wasn't Kralo. It wasn't, you know, one of their comms guys. It was him. And it was like on their main Twitter account. I think that, and again, some people are going to say it doesn't really matter who said the message, and what he said doesn't really matter, honestly, because we've heard a lot before. It's what they do after this. But you just put your, what is it, one of your biggest guys, executive producer, he's executive producer. You put your executive producer in front of a camera when he never goes in front of a camera and said, we are going to do something. I think that's, I think no matter what we can, no matter what conjecture we come up with of like how important the core is, how big the franchise core is compared to the Ultimate Team core, how big all of it is, I think that shows a lot. And I've already heard rumors, which I cannot confirm, that Madden isn't the only game that saw that.
Hmm.
So I think, and please don't get me wrong when I say this, because the hashtag was because no one went into details. If the sim community or the franchise community went into details of what we all wanted, it would have broken down again.
Well, I mean, that's my question. And I know on this show, in the last year or two, I've asked you this, and I'm going to ask you again, and I'm not being right, and it's legitimate, right? Because this is what I ask people about Out of the Park Baseball all the time. What do you want? What do you see? What don't we do that you would like us to do? So, and again, not a breakdown of Mills. Where, you know, we have mentioned very few, if any, details about what is potentially lacking in the franchise mode. What's lacking to you in franchise mode, you know, in a minute or two? What if you, well, let me ask it this way. Because I don't want to ask you the same question. You give the same answer you've given in the past. That's mm-hmm. boring.
No problem.
I have just named you the creative director for the Madden franchise. What is your agenda?
My agenda is to clean up all of the low-hanging fruit that I can as quickly as I can. So trade logic, things like that. It's going to be hard because there's a lot of code built under a lot of other code. We've heard about this about gameplay before, but franchise is the same way. So I'm going to do that first. My second order of business
Hold on. What does that mean? I don't know what that means. When you're saying
low hanging fruit is not new features.
No, I'm talking about the trade logic. Like what does that mean with trade logic? What's wrong with trade logic?
Trade logic in general, and they value certain positions over others incorrectly. They value draft picks weird. There's no rhyme or reason to draft picks. You can trade a number one draft pick for.
There's not a lot of trades in the NFL. There's more now than there was in the past. It used to be almost none.
That doesn't give an excuse for logic not to be good.
I'm not making an excuse. I'm asking, like, how many NFL trades do you have in a year? 10? 15?
So you probably get that, Rich. You probably get that many just after final cuts.
No, I get it. I'm not dismissing this. When you say logic, he was answering the question. Like I cut him off as he was saying, well, you know, draft picks would be more. So I get it. You got a clear understanding as to how you feel the trade logic does not represent what happens in the NFL right now.
Right.
Gotcha. Okay. What's number two?
I mean, if trade logic is one, then number two is find some way to, and this is a big one because, and this is my feeling, find some way to connect the player to the league and their team in general. right now, when you're playing the game, you feel zero connection to anything else that's happening.
That is so subjective, though. Like, how do you translate that into something tangible in the game? And again, you just gave us
an example earlier, Rich, when you were playing your FIFA.
Yeah, that was amazing.
And NBA 2K does it constantly.
Yes.
You have to care about everything that's going in the league. It has to feel like a league. There has to be things like cutting in, something as small as cutting in scores. Even their halftime show right now is infinitely better than it has been in the past because it shows three scores. Like, and even then it tends to be people that are in your division. Like, you have to care about what's going on. You have to care about your team. They tried to start this with the scenario engine. Like, the scenario engine was supposed to be what this was. But again, it's another 1 year program that shows no fruit the second year.
Mm. Okay. I'm with you. You know, again, that's to me, what you're talking about is a bit more nebulous than trade logic, but I'm with you. Where else are we going?
Well, that's why I kind of say low hanging fruit.
Okay.
When I say low hanging fruit, those are things that are not new features in the game. Things that are not introduced that you have to build from the ground up. There are a multitude of actual issues currently in the game that you have to fix logic-wise, contract-wise, and I know you hate when I talk salary cap-wise, like even gameplay-wise. Gameplay-wise, I'm including gameplay because gameplay is a big part of franchise.
Absolutely.
And it looks
gameplay, you know, I'm down with gameplay conversations, you know. Now, I'm happy with gameplay, but, you know, the way that I play, like, my level of satisfaction with Madden is how successful I am at doing exactly the same thing every single year. Some years, I'm very successful running the ball up the middle, like I am right now. I can run the ball pretty well, even though my offensive line is just okay. It's not bad, but it's not as good as I want it to be. But some years, when I can't run the ball up the middle, I'm like, I hate Madden. Madden's terrible. So I'm with you there on the gameplay side. You know, I can get down with that. But again, like, you know, I don't have a ton of gameplay issues with Madden, at least none that stand out in my mind. But again, I'm the hyper casualist of casual, right? Play 2 to 3 games a week in my online league, win more than I lose. But, you know, I'm the same player. I always have been. But that's how I am with football, like actual NFL football, right? Like, if I were building a football team, I would build it around a world-class offensive line, the ability to dominate time of possession, you know, and to be able to pass when I have to, you know, to tight ends and, you know, deep routes to speedy wide receivers that if I toss three up there a game, I'll come down with one or two.
I also think that while we're talking about this from obviously two different perspectives, which is good, but the people tweeting out a hashtag like Fix Madden franchise are not people that are going to like just not care about these things. They're not people that are going to just play the game like casually. These are people that are playing, you know,
right,
you know, 5 to 6 games a week, even more sometimes, you know, multiple seasons.
It's why I always say, just because I feel this way, I never say that anyone else should feel this way. I completely, and by the way, again, from the out of the park baseball standpoint, I love it because the people who are that as passionate about our game are the reason that we're able to make all these updates every single year, because we just have thousands of people who are that passionate about the franchise mode, and we lean on them hard, because when you've been making a game for 20 years, 25 years, 30 years, it can be hard to come up with great stuff, you know, great lists of things to do, you know, on your own, because you've got a very unique perspective as opposed to your fans, who quite often have a better perspective of things that need to be added.
So, a little apples to oranges, and I'm going to admit this before I say it. If you came out with OOTB 21 and your list of fixes for Perfect Team were vast, but your list of fixes for franchise were what Madden put out, what would happen?
It would be a revolt, and I would go into hiding.
And that is, I mean, because OOTP is a hardcore audience. Like, when they play franchise, that's a mainly hardcore audience, right? So that's what happened. That's what happened with Madden, except Madden, OOTP would never do that to their audience because, I mean, obviously. But Batten's been doing it since Batten 12.
Yeah, but I think it is apples to oranges, because what you can do in a PC strategy simulation game is wildly different than what you can do in a console game, right? Like, you know, I'm trying to not sound like I'm piling on here, because I'm not, right? You know, a console game and a PC game are a lot different, right? Just even the interface, you know, the whole mouse and keyboard versus not. When you get into things like that, I'm not talking gameplay, I'm talking like just navigating the system, right? That's one of the reasons it'll, you know, Out of the Park Baseball 21, 22, 23, like, you can't take that and put that on an Xbox as it is. You know what I mean? It's too much, right? So you can't sort of expect Madden to have that kind of level of management simulation, which I'm not saying you're saying it should be, right? But
I expect them to have some portion of it, because their franchise team is bigger than your programming team, and their franchise team doesn't work on gameplay. Their franchise team is dedicated to franchise mode, not the gameplay. Their gameplay team is completely separate, and their franchise team is one of the largest teams they have and is bigger than OOTP.
And you know that they don't just sit around doing nothing all day long.
Absolutely not. I understand that. I'm not blaming the franchise. See, I'm not blaming the franchise team here. My blame has always been way higher than their franchise team. My problem is, with all of those facts, that they have a larger franchise team than you, than OOTP. I apologize. They have a larger franchise team that is focused on just the mode than OOTP does. They have more resources. They have more time, because you're both yearly titles. How is it that OOTP continuously updates their franchise mode? And I'm not looking for a tech sim out of Madden. I'm looking for, you know, pretty good, or even updates. Updates would be nice. How is it that OOTP continuously puts major updates into their system, and franchise mode from Madden 20 to Madden 21 is getting patch notes?
Coming in just about a week to Out of the Park Baseball 21, the brand new 60-game Major League Baseball season with all of the updated schedules, all the updated rosters, and the roster schedules going from 27 to 25 and so on, plus the extra inning rules of runners on second base from the 10th inning and beyond. Look for that in a week or two. Anyway, thank you for that opportunity, by the way.
Do you want me to read off the update that Brian talked about earlier that came out today about the Play Now Live for MLB The Show, but what they couldn't do with franchise mode?
Go for it.
The update that they put out yesterday that said they can't do the 60-game schedule, they can't do all the updated rules, they can't do all this other stuff. Because, I mean, for good reason, don't get me wrong. Like, they said it would have issues with in-game now.
Of course.
But at the same time, OTP's been having 162-game seasons already, and they're able to update all the rules.
Yeah, it's very much apples to apples, though. I'm not going to give MLB that their game is much bigger, much deeper, much more complex, many more integrated systems.
Yeah,
I completely understand it. And by the way, right, like, it's not like they've been given a few months of runway here, right? Like, for us to make the updates to our system is nothing like them to make those kind of updates to their system. Nothing at all.
Extremely tight. You're absolutely right. Extremely tight. Except for MLB, this is the second or third year that they haven't updated their franchise mode at all.
So let me ask you this. Did EA, did Sony San Diego, did maybe 2K, did they... I'm not sure as much 2K in that extent, but did they misjudge things? Because it sure seems like what they've been doing the last couple of years is looking at, in the case of Madden, face of the franchise, in the case of the show, March to October, like that becoming the new franchise mode experience, and then sunsetting the traditional franchise. Like, here's your classic franchise now. We're not going to do anything to it, but it's still there. Here's your regular franchise in the show. But March to October is really where we're going to put our effort. It's where we're going to try to make the most enjoyable experience and make it appeal to a wider audience. Is that where they were going with this? And is that maybe where they're seeing now that they're going to lose people that way? That makes me wonder that, especially, you know, face of the franchise. It's because when you say, Mills, they got a whole team working on it, and they put out that developer blog, and it's clear that face of the franchise is their mode. It's the mode that they cared about. It's the mode that they put the resources into. And it's the one that seems to be designed to, you know, appeal to novices and people looking for like a story type experience and everything. And then, you know, franchise is an afterthought.
I mean, face of the franchise is superstar mode. They put the word franchise in it.
No, I think they see it that way.
There's no way they can see it any other way. But they've people have been asking for a superstar mode out of them for years. I there's no way they can believe that's franchise mode, because again, that's
separate. Transitions, right? It transitions into franchise mode after you're done with the superstar.
No, it transitions into player lock. I mean, it is a franchise, the franchise area, but it transitions into player lock. Okay. Where that's the idea is that the first year you were supposed to create your player and then, you know, play your player in franchise mode as a player locked player. That's why player locking was different in franchise mode last year. My feeling and my understanding is they're treating face of the franchise as player lock, and that franchise is still separate in terms of the full team experience.
March to October, that does transition into franchise mode though, right? Or that, you can repeat it.
That does. And I really believe March to October is a good direction. I don't think that's wasted time, especially if in the end of March to October's development, or like when it gets to its full fledged area, because March to October, this was the second year for that. And they saw some very, very sufficient upgrades. The trade management screen that March to October has that franchise mode doesn't have is fantastic.
I love March to October. It's great.
I agree.
It's great. Played three of them this year. Yeah, I played three before. I think right at the end of my third, when I won the World Series with the Twins, which was the first World Series that I won of the three that I played. I think right as I got to the as I won the World Series was when FIFA came to EA Access. So I probably would have started a fourth had my FIFA not showed up.
Oh, and I still play March to October to this day, like it's stream great. And off stream. I do play it constantly. It's like, for it's a like single
greatest
season
hits. You know what I mean? It's just like you hop in for either 15 minutes or an hour, and either way, you're just having fun. You're doing different stuff. Things are changing up, and there's a momentum. There's a feel to it. It's so well done.
Well, and they do a good job of keeping you involved with the league too. Like what Heidi Watney does, like before games, the presentation, even the small intro movie, like you feel like, but you feel like you're working towards something the whole time.
You're right.
So you feel that sense of achievement. What I think March to October needs to do to kind of pick franchise fans like on board is give more options, the ability to like play more. I think give them more, like let the March to October people that want to play it as it is right now, play it as it is right now. But at the same time, start building backwards as well to where, you know, if you have a guy that wants to play 162 games, I know people that play all 162. I'm not one of them, believe me. Let them play all 162 as it goes. And I think the mode is open enough where they can do that. So if that's the direction March to October is going eventually, even something like having the underdogs have a 3-year March to October, so that way you're not looking to try to get a World Series at the Orioles year one. So just more options in terms of, you know, more control that way, then they're fine. But Madden doesn't have that.
Brian, anything more on this before we move on?
Well, you know, it's as far as like what I would like to see, I mean, Mills hit on it as far as, you know, making you feel like you're part of the world. And as you know, something bigger than just your team and having a connection to the league and it's everything that's happening. And that's, you know, big as far as presentation goes. And I've been talking about that for as long as I can remember. Other things I've seen suggested are like a coaching carousel, which is, you know, very popular in NCAA football. So the ability to play as an offensive coordinator, which I think would be up your alley, Rich. Just call the plays
and
play offense, right?
When I have to play defense against, you know, the real people when I play them, I don't even try. I call the play and I wait. And by the way, I'm pretty successful. Like, I'm not getting rolled up, you know, losing by 30 every game. Like, it's fine. It works just fine. You know, sometimes I'll look up and I'm like, oh, I got an interception. Awesome. Great. But when I play against a computer, all I do is play the offense. Defense is incredibly boring. incredibly well.
Yeah, and as an offensive coordinator, you wouldn't have to worry about that junk that you complained about, right?
You're right. I'm down with that. Sign me up.
So there you go. I found something you would like. All right. I've seen people talk about stat tracking and historical records. Definitely scouting. It's still weird to me that you go in blind on like 90% of available players, and no team in football goes in blind on the majority of players when they go into a draft. They knew who they want to target by then, and they have an idea of where things are going to go. So I think scouting is kind of a big one. It's kind of they've tried different ways to do scouting. It's difficult because you want to make it strategic, and if you know everything about everybody, what's the point? But you should know everything about, or you should know some things about everyone. And maybe have your target list.
Well, except this year, right? Because there won't be any college football. So the draft, you'll be like, I don't know. This guy might be good. He might be terrible. I have no idea. Go. But we're going to pick him anyway.
There you go. Exactly. We know a few college, in Madden, it would be fake players unless you import. We don't have NCAA football anymore to do that. It's been an interesting time for Madden, and just, as far as how they're handling it and stuff. And this was just a fascinating development, something that was, years in the making, really. And without the way social media works right now, who knows, maybe this redirects Madden on a different path. I doubt they change, they had that, they just re-upped the contract with the NFL, right, for an extra five, possibly 6 years.
Basically, at a minimum for this coming new generation of consoles, which, by the way, right, no one has any idea if this will be the last one or if, because we've been thinking it might be the last console generation for at least five of them. So, they basically, for the quote-unquote foreseeable future, they will have the simulation video game NFL license.
So the word that came out was that EA blew them away with a presentation of their roadmap for the series. And look, that's clearly not, I'm going to guess that wasn't this year's game. But I don't know, how much do they really commit to franchise? Is it just stuff to try to settle people down and say, hey, look, we're not forgetting about franchise, or are they actually going to do something significant with it?
Well, here's what we know, right? And we'll put Madden to bed with this. I think it's safe to say that here's what we know. Madden is a cornerstone of EA. Madden is going to continue to be a yearly title. It is going to continue to have a franchise mode, right? It's going to continue to pursue engagement. That's the magic word, engagement. From the publisher side, and they everybody knows this, right? Engagement. What is it? How do you engage with your customers? How do you delight them? How do you make them happy? There's no way any kind of Madden game won't have a franchise mode. It's just a question of will it be updated a lot, a little bit, or not at all? Because you can't just buy Madden and not have the ability to hit a button and start on week one of a season that could go for 5, 10, or 15, or 20 years. Like, that's not going to disappear. But the real question is, what does Madden look like in a very different world? How do they engage with the most people? Maybe they're engaging with the number of people they want. Maybe it's not as many as it has been, or maybe it's more. But, man, there's so many different directions they could go. How do potential Madden players want to engage with it, right? Like, how much do they want to be associated with their favorite real-world team? How much do they want to be associated with their online persona? It's the same thing with NBA 2K, right? Like, how much do you want to be associated with your favorite NBA team, and how much do you want to be your character in the park? Like, it's so different now than it was 5 years ago, much less 10 or 15 years ago. And it's no wonder that there are so many people that are so unhappy, because there's so many different people who want so many different experiences from these games. I believe that there's a lot more happy people than not. That's just a strong sense that I have. I think that the happy people just tend not to say it very much on social media or the places where people look for it, because when they do, they get grief for it.
Yeah, it's not worth it. It's not worth it. Expressing that.
Not worth it. I don't care, because I've been getting grief for saying nice things about sports video games for 15 years. But I'm used to it. All right, couple other things. And I'm curious what both of you guys have to say about this before we get out of here. Mills, are we supposed to be outraged that NBA 2K is theoretically, purportedly going to charge $70 for at least one of their versions of NBA 2K?
No, come on. It's been too long. We've had $60 video games for pretty much my entire gaming life. Dev costs have gone up, have been reported to have gone up and shown statistically to have gone up, and they've been $60 forever. They should rightfully be $70. I buy deluxe editions to games just to support developers at this point, even if I don't want the stuff that comes with them. So $70. I think the larger issue that I have is that if you buy the $60 version or the base version, you don't get the next gen version. You have to buy the $100 Kobe version to get the next gen version. It's like, if you're buying to both versions, you might as well just buy the $100 version. So that for me, putting Kobe on the front of that kind of hurts me a little bit differently than putting like the Damian Lillard version. But it is what it is. $70 is not too much, and that's probably going to be the price of next gen games, if not now, soon.
Brian, we die. I yeah. believe that I know what you're going to say before you do. Before I ask the question. And that is, Rich, not only am I not going to pay $70, I haven't paid $60 for a video game in years, because if you try just a little bit, like really just a little bit, you can get at least $5, usually 10, maybe even $15 off games. Like, even so, that's sort of where I was thinking you were going to answer this question.
Well, you know, the price increase doesn't really bother me. I think for AAA games, it's still easy to justify buying those. Now, you get into different circumstances when Mills brought up different editions of games. So, you know, so that $100 Kobe version, what, on next gen, that becomes $120 or something. And so they continue to up the rate on everything above it too. And look, like, it's 2K can get away with it because there's enough people that love 2K. I'm not sure how this would work for, you know, the smaller games. Like, would NHL sell, you know, have a struggle a little more at $70? Would UFC struggle a little more at $70? Would a tennis game struggle at $70? Like, I think potentially that looks a little tougher, and we're just, you know, it's hard to feel sympathy for these companies that are, and it's not all of them, it's the big ones who are raking in the money on digital revenue. It's like, the price of the games has not increased for, you know, 20 years or whatever it may be, 25 years, 30 years, but they're making more money now than they ever have before on each person that buys the game. So, you know, it's just kind of funny to see it go from a period where everyone thought games were headed towards being free to play, and now the price instead is just going up. Like, I'd rather, like, look, Last of Us 2, if you wanted to charge me $70 for that, I get it, because you're not making any other money off of me. But a game like 2K, it's weird that 2K was the one that came out of the gate, maybe because they, if it is going to be for every game, because they can take that heat and people will get over it. It's just kind of unexpected to see that news right now.
Brian, if there's one thing that I've learned, it's that when we did this show years ago, I had no idea what I was talking about. Absolutely no idea what I was talking about. It's amazing that people listened to it back then, because we were saying for years, like, oh my gosh, you know, they're not going to do annual versions. It'll be a subscription service any day now. It's come on, idiotic. And, you know, yeah, going free to play, yeah, it makes a lot of sense unless you actually know something, you know, like, and I'm half kidding and I'm half not. But you're absolutely right in that there's so many different business models. Who would have thought it? But clearly, right, and I say this everywhere, there is no smarter consumer today than a video game consumer. Like, people who spend their money on video games are the smartest about the products. They know, not only do they know what the game is about, they know who made it. They know the other games that that person and that company have made. They often have, you know, relationships with, you know, the personalities associated with the games. I mean, people that spend money in video games know what they're doing. And so I firmly believe that if NBA 2K believes that it's delivering a $70 value game to the market, that they're right, and that the very smart people who would agree with them will spend their money and buy it. And if it turns out they're wrong, they'll know pretty quickly. It is interesting, though, for sure, right? It's a very long time between the move from 50 to 60 and now 60 to 70. So it'll be fascinating to see it. But again, my whole thing is, you know, unless you absolutely positively have to have the game on the very first day that it comes out, and by the way, if you do, you would typically pre-order it and get some sort of a discount anyway, right? But unless you're one of those folks who has to have a game on day one, you will have multitudes of opportunities to play it relatively soon after its release for materially less money than you would have to paying full price.
Let me just jump in on that real quick, just one note on that. Yeah, you're right. In this generation, you could wait 2 weeks and usually get a game for 20, like $20 off. It'd be at $40. You know, MLB The Show. You know, it's been a few months now, but MLB The Show you can get for $40. You know, a lot of the sports games drop $10, or you could pre-order them and get a discount. The difference we might see this next gen, though, is that, you know, a lot of people are going to buy that PS4 or PS5 that's got no disc drive. Digital sales are a little more rare. That's why The Show tends to take months to drop. And you know, it's
very good point.
And Nintendo Switch or Nintendo never drops prices on games. You know, like,
well,
so that's my one concern, though, is that we're going to be heavier on digital. Nintendo. And usually it's those Amazon sales, those Best Buy sales that really push the price drops. I'm not sure if we're going to have quite as quickly or quite as much next gen, but you know, I would hope that's the case. If not, you're always going to get Black Friday deals. You're always going to get deals eventually down the line, or you can pick it up on Game Pass, or you can pick it up on EA Access. I mean, if you waited, you could get NBA 2K20 right now on Game Pass on Xbox, or as a PlayStation Plus subscriber on PS4. You didn't have to pay for it if you could wait until, well, hell, I was going to say the playoffs, but, you know, when the playoffs would have been, if we actually had a regular season.
All right, a couple more quickies. Brian Weedy, say it ain't so. People are concerned about the ongoing viability of the Pro Evolution franchise. This is not good.
It's concerning for you.
It's very concerning for me as a longtime supporter and fan of this franchise.
So yeah, we had the what showed up on Microsoft's a product page for what's called the PES 21. I don't even want to call it what it's called now. It's called the season update. Season update to 2020. And it says it contains the latest player data and club rosters, but it's the same gameplay as last year's PES 2020. So it looks like they're just releasing an update for last year's game. It's unclear if they're charging for it or if it might be free to those people who have it. And then if you don't have it, you buy the season update and you get everything with it. But yeah, they're not putting out a new game this year, it seems. And that's, you know, that raised the question of, is that a just unusual circumstances of 2020 thing? Or is that fading away?
Well,
and that's something Konami's, as I'm sure you'll go into, Rich, Konami has done with many of their franchises.
Well, you know, and I'm not even a Konami fan. Like, Konami historically is a incredibly influential video game publisher. developer. Many famous franchises. Again, I'm not an old school, like I'm not going to claim to be someone who has a deep knowledge of Konami games, but they're, you know, people who know video games know. But they have dramatically changed over the last decade or so. A number of their IP is not currently active, and they've let many franchises go dormant. They focused in a lot of ways on different things, like casino machines and things like that. But they have kept some of their video game franchises going, and Pro Evolution is the one and only sports one. So for the last few years, I've kind of been a little surprised that Pro Evo has continued, because A, it's been good, like really good, and B, it doesn't, going up against the monolith, the behemoth that is FIFA, like it's my only, as we talked about on the show, Brian, my assumption was that it must be profitable enough, right? Because
it is,
Konami wouldn't keep doing it if it wasn't. So I'm curious whether this is a pause, right? Which I think, honestly, I think it's a pause, because I think if they were killing it, they wouldn't even do anything, right? They would just not do anything and not invest the time. It's just a pause and, like, you know what? Between the uncertainty with what's going to happen next year with soccer and with the delays in development and with the restarts and stuff like that, like let's just do this. That'll get us through what we know now the new schedules are between now and the end of the summer, and then let's regroup and just kind of do our next game for next year on the new consoles that have been out for a while. That I could totally see that being the case, because again, that's assuming that they want to maintain the franchise because it's profitable enough to keep going, which has been that's the evidence here, right? Konami has killed off a lot of their franchises, but they've kept Pro Evo going. So until they say we're not going to keep it going, I'm going to assume they're going to keep it going, and this is a pause, and they'll just be back with next gen versions next year. That's my theory.
You know, if they were going to release, this makes me think that they never plan to release a full game this year, because they would have been far enough into development, as we saw with some of the other games, by the time, February and March rolled around, and when across the globe, things got out of control, and they probably would have been able to complete it. They have been touting so much their success on mobile that I think they just might want to go that direction. It's hard to get a good hold on how well the game does, because it is successful in certain regions around the world. Those are ones that we don't really have tracking numbers for. Like it's not even a blip on the radar in the US, in North America. FIFA dominates. But there are places across the world where this series is, beats FIFA. It's just hard really to understand the full context of it. I think maybe they continue on console this year and to kind of tie it to mobile and keep mobile going strong. I don't know.
You know what else is interesting, Brian, is that FIFA 21 is launching on October 9th.
It's a week or two later than normal.
Is it? I thought it was even like several weeks later than that.
Wasn't it
usually before NHL, right? Wasn't it?
It had been
mid-September, and FIFA was early September. Like that's, I think that's 5 weeks.
I think they flipped recently, and FIFA became the late September game.
Okay.
But yeah, I mean, it's who knows. what the season is going to be like. In a normal year, it's going the wrong direction. We said that should be moving to August or July.
Right. So that's where I want to, well, actually, before we close, Mills, any Pro Evo theories, thoughts, concerns?
Oh, no, I was just saying, it was 2015 when Konami really pushed their focus to mobile gaming, with the exception of things like Pro Evo. But I mean, recently, even earlier this year, Konami looks like they're doing better. They even moved, I think they moved their headquarters in Japan to start housing esports events. So there's more, I mean, if you really look into it a bit, there's some hope for Pro Evo. I think, like I said, as long as they don't go fully mobile, they'll be fine. And Pro Evo has been successful, even though they don't have a huge, money source like Ultimate Team, like FIFA does. Yeah, I think them moving is very telling for Konami as well. And Pro Evo being, you know, a sports title, and as Brian said, even more popular than FIFA in certain parts of the world. If Konami actually does get into esports, which it looks like they might be doing, Pro Evo could still be on the docket.
Absolutely.
They've done some events with it, because I get these press releases about it, but I have no idea if anybody's watching that. I mean, it's kind of, or how well those do. Doesn't seem to me like it has much traction, but maybe in certain areas it does.
All right, so we'll get out of here on this. Mills, regardless of whether the game's release date has been announced or not, with all of the rescheduling and such, you know, you've got the NHL, which is, I think, is it the Stanley Cup final sort of now, based on the schedule, going to be in being awarded in like mid-September, I think, right? You've got the NBA, where I think the NBA finals will be sort of awarded at that time as well. You know, when and with the NFL, you know, we're sort of assuming, you know, the schedule is going to be as it is, but, you know, we know what's up with that. When would you sort of, I'm not trying to give you a difficult question with a long answer, because this is sort of wrapping it up at the end of the night, but for the two or three big games coming out this fall, the NHL, the NBA, the Madden, what would be the right sort of time frame for you to actually be ready to play that game? And what version of that world do you want? Do you want a world where, you know, you have the option to play a 9-game NFL season against your divisional opponents and one other team or two other teams in empty stadiums? Or do you want, like, the NHL game to have, you know, a shrunken schedule and a compressed time frame and half empty stadiums for 6 months? Or do you want these games to come out when they normally come out, and you just want to live in a fantasy world, pretend, and there's fans in the stands, and it's the same schedule, it's the same this and that? Like, which direction do you want to go this fall with everything going on?
I think where they're scheduled to come out now is good. Like, I think Madden's like August 28th or whatever. I want to see an option to play if the schedules change. That's kind of a fantasy world, because it's like what happened with MLB. It's going to happen on such short notice, especially with the NFL now. I'd love to see an option, especially for NHL and NBA, because they have such long 82-game seasons in normal franchise modes. I'd love to see them be able to do this Stanley Cup qualifier and round robin stuff that NHL's doing, or even like the shortened playoffs with like customizable teams. There's already a playoff mode. I mean, why not just kind of edit that a little bit? But I'd like to see the option to do that. I don't think empty stadiums are necessary. I think empty stadiums game would be extremely boring in a video game. But if they didn't have them, I wouldn't, like, even like I said, MLB, I don't think it's the end of the world. I think people are playing a video game. While you want to mirror what's happening in real life, I think people are playing a video game to get away a lot of the time. And especially with everything going on in the world, like, I think people just want to be able to play.
I sort of agree, but I can also see people it's a strange juxtaposition to be like, okay, I'm going to play Madden 21 in Philadelphia as the Eagles in the full Eagle Stadium, knowing that that's literally impossible, because today Philadelphia announced that they will not allow any large gatherings until at least February 2021, right? Which, you know, effectively, not that anyone was expecting, but absolutely prevents that from happening. Like, so it's literally not going to happen, no matter what. If the Eagles play any football games, there will absolutely not be fans in the stands. No doubt about it. Like, it's weird to be this sim football game and play that opening weekend game in a stadium full of fans. Like, but it's just weird, right? Like,
it would be a strange position
to be in. I don't know what I want, even. Like, I'm just, it's so strange. Like, it's even strange playing now, like, as I'm playing Madden and FIFA, right? I'm playing in real stadiums with fans everywhere, and it's weird. It's really, not really weird. It's a little weird. Like, I know it's a video game, so I can, you know. But so I'm watching the Premier League all day. Yeah. Not all day, but the Premier League matches are on in my office during the day. And there's no fans, and some of the places have tarps and stuff. It's like, it's a very difficult question to answer. I can totally see not wanting to do it, and I can totally see needing to do it.
I say embrace the weirdness, right? We look at these annual sports games, and very often, you know, they're constrained by the realities of the sport, and you know, how often do we hear, you know, how much can a sports game change year to year? You know, it's like, oh, well, you know, they tweak this and that, and everybody says, oh, this game plays just like it did 5 years ago or whatever. This is a chance to stand out and do and just be strange and unique. And look, yeah, no fans in the stands. You know, maybe you have weird structure to the season, schedules changing, and, you know, NBA starting later in the year, and baseball, you know, having this weird 60-game season. Like, to me, that's the kind of stuff that you remember when you look back on and you say, man, do you remember Madden 12 was the year that they almost had a strike, so they did this with it differently. And, like, you know, it just stands out to me in that way. And it's like, I think it could be fun to just have something different. Like, oh, no fans in the stands. Well, that's weird. That's going to affect your revenue in franchise mode. How about we implement that in Madden franchise mode? Struggling ownership. You're going to you have to complain about your revenue dropping and how much you're paying the players, and then the salary cap drops, Rich, and you have to deal with it. Now, you know, it's just I think it'd be fun to capitalize on those things in different ways. It's difficult because I think at this point we sit here, nobody really knows what's going to happen. Madden can't plan for what's going to happen with the NFL season because nobody really even knows. But if they could, if they can update it and do different things with it, like I look at NBA 2K, if it's going to come out when this current season is going on, they're going to have 3 months or so from when they release the game to when the next season starts. Hopefully they use that time to do some different things with it and kind of jump on what that next season is going to be like.
I got it. Everyone wants older features. We can just put the old crowds back in place. It'll look like cardboard cutouts anyway.
Yeah, it's funny. They like, I know other teams are doing it, but I got an email from the Mariners saying, hey, pay $39 or something and send in a picture and we'll put you in the crowd. Kind of cool. I don't know. But yeah, you're right. We can really go back to the old days of the pixelated crowd. And I wanted like the Korean baseball when they had like dogs and stuff. I want to send in a picture of my dogs and have them in the stands. That's really, and I want to see them in Madden. Put them in Madden too. Just put my dogs in there. That'll make me happy.
Well, I'm glad that didn't go in the direction I thought it was for half a second there. All right, guys, this was a marathon session. Marathon. Look at us clocking in at 90 minutes or more. This is old school throwback stuff. I love it. Mills, thank you so much for being here, my friend. Where can people watch, listen, see all the stuff that you got going on?
Twitch.tv/Mills with updates on Twitter at Mills Twitch.
Love it.
Ryan. And do me a favor, everybody, wear a mask, please, for everybody else, not just you.
Amen, yeah, brother.
No kidding.
Absolutely. Brian Weedeye, Pasta Padre, where can people follow all of your exploits all over the internet? Because that's all you do is just brag about your exploits all day long.
that's what I'm known for. You know, normally I'd say sporting news. Right now that's kind of in hiatus period. So just follow me on Twitter, Pasta Padre, and PastaPadre.com occasionally. We got more news and stuff coming up, and so that'll be a little more interesting to follow. It's just, you know, we got these games hopefully coming out, and we got these seasons happening and updates to games. So it be a very unusual time, but yeah, I guess follow me on Twitter.
That's wild times and watch them chronicled by our friend Brian Weedeye at Pasta Padre on Twitter. Thanks everybody for listening. This was a blast. Let's do it again soon. What do you say, guys?
Yep.
Mills,
sounds
you
good.
Come back soon.
Absolutely. As long as you're okay with the 90-minute episodes, it seems to be my staple at this point.
I like it. I like it a lot. Again, just it you know, it's almost like those halcyon days, Brian. You remember them in the lead up to the PlayStation 4 and to the Xbox One?
Those were fun, man.
We for a small amount of time, we were a big deal.
You know what I was thinking? You know what I was thinking about recently? We did the Google video podcasts. I was thinking we could Zoom sometime.
Let's do it.
Maybe when Madden comes out or when whatever, let's and we can it. Have like a Zoom chat.
Yes.
Be fun to get in on that craze.
Let's do it. And let's stream too. Let's do all that kind of stuff. Let's go for it. Mm-hmm. Love it. I know a guy. This guy Mills, he knows how to do all that stuff. We can ask him to help.
Lies.
All right. Thank you, everybody, for listening. We appreciate it. We know we're a bit random these days, but hey, it's what we do. We are still the Press Row Podcast. We're still doing what we do when we can, and when we can, we do. Thank you guys for being with us this whole time for the ride. You're the best. We'll be back again soon. And until then, be safe, and thank you very much.